Blog Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I am your host, Lisa Watson. Today we have a very special guest. We have number one national best-selling author and NAACP Image Award winner. She is also a poet. She's a motivational speaker. And in addition to those talents, she's also a former news reporter and anchor. Now a writing full-time, she has penned over 35 books, and her sophomore novel, Let the Church Say Amen, has been made into a movie directed by actress Regina King and produced by Queen Latifah's Flava Unit, Royal Ties Productions, and Bobcat Films. She has also made her film debut in the movie as well, so we will be sure and talk to her about that, especially that church scene. She was honored to have won the 2012 NAACP Image Award for Say Amen Again and nominated again in 2013. My guest is also co-founder of Brown Girls Books, a boutique publishing company with over 20 authors to date. So I would like to give a warm welcome tonight to Rashonda Tate Billingsley. Welcome, Rashonda. Rashonda, are you there? Oh, I think we may have lost our guest this evening. Hold on. She was
Can you hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, I'm there. You are. Hey. Hi.
Okay. Hi there.
Sometimes the line goes a little crazy. So, yes, it is again a pleasure having you this evening. I've seen you definitely in passing over the years at various conventions and most recently at a Weekend Inside Publishing event that was at the Durham Library in September. But, you know, this is the first time I've actually had the pleasure of speaking with you one-on-one. So I am glad you're here tonight, and we've got all sorts of good questions for you. So first, let's start out with having you tell our listeners out there what life has been like for you since that debut novel and what you love most about being an author.
You know, it's been great. I always say Jill Scott wrote my theme song, Living My Life Like It's Golden. I'm just really blessed to be doing what I do. I love it. I would do it for free. The great thing is I don't have to.
Absolutely. So, Rashonda, tell us a little bit more about your latest novel, Mama's Boy. With racial tensions and injustices in the spotlight more and more now, what was the inspiration for that story for you?
It's kind of a ripped from the headlines story. I am a what-if person, and I'm always asking myself what if. It's how a lot of my story ideas are born. And I'm a law-abiding citizen, and so I was asking myself, if my son had committed a crime, would I be able to turn him in? And my first reaction was I would, because I'd be doing, you know, I would want to do the right thing. But then I thought about all these other dynamics. What if the police department has some racial issues? What if there's tension in the town? Could you put your son over to a racist police department? And then that changed the dynamics of my answer. And so that was where the whole idea of Mama's Boy came from.
Got you. Now, you started out in journalism as a reporter and then as an anchor. And there's a very interesting story that I've heard you tell about your first job as a reporter and why you took it. So can you kind of share with listeners a little bit more about that?
Yes. When I graduated from the University of Texas at Austin, I was 21 years old and really just trying to make my mark. And I wanted to get in television, and I got a job offer with the National Enquirer, the tabloid magazine. And I had no intention on taking that job. And then they said, well, your starting salary is $130,000. And I said, well, when do you want me to start? And I moved to West Palm Palm Beach, and I was the paparazzi for a year. Hated it, hated it. Loved the money, but hated the job.
Now, tell us a little bit. You have joined talents with two other national best-selling authors in a multidimensional novel that illustrates the importance of love, family, and forgiveness. So can you tell us a little bit more about that project?
Yes, I wrote with Bernice McFadden and J.D. Mason, two authors who I just adore and admire their work. We came together to write a book about a father, an estranged father who is battling Alzheimer's and trying to make a peace with his daughters. And so it was a great experience trying to pin together these three different voices into one novel.
Wow. Now, tell us a little bit about your story in that novel.
Well, it's all one novel, so it's all interwoven. We wrote from three different sisters' perspectives, mm-hmm. but we weave the whole story together. So it is one complete novel. It's called Amos.
Now, how exactly does that happen when you kind of get three authors together? Do you all kind of each take a chapter, or you kind of interweave within the same chapter? How does that work?
Yes, as I said, we took it from the sister's point of view. So each of us was assigned a sister, and mm-hmm. we wrote their story. And then we brought their three stories together, and we weaved them around the father's story.
Nice.
Now, I have another book that I've written, or a series of books that I've written with author Victoria Christopher Murray, and she mm-hmm. and I, we do a little different. We write one chapter. I write a chapter. I send it to her. She feeds off of that chapter, and then she writes her chapter, and we go back and forth like that via email.
And we can clearly see that has worked out great for the two of you.
Yes, we have book number 4 coming out next year in the Rachel Jasmine series, and it's called A Blessing and a Curse. And I just love writing those books with Victoria, but that is the last book in the series.
Ah, okay. So I know readers will definitely be anticipating that. Before we get wrapped up hearing more about number one national best-selling and NAA Image Award-winning author Rashonda Tate Billingsley, I'd like to let listeners know that our live chat session is open, and you're welcome to comment or ask questions there. You can call us at area code 646-200-4071. And, of course, after the live show, I will be posting the podcast and recap blog to readersentertainment.com. And for those listeners that want to learn more about Rashonda as we're chatting with her, you can check out her website at www.rashonda, R-E-S-H-O-N-D-A, Tate, T-A-T-E, Billingsley, BILLINGSLEY.com. So, Rashonda, your sophomore novel, Let the Church Say Amen, has been, of course, made into a movie. So can you tell us a little bit more about what that was like in that infamous church scene marking your film debut, and kind of what it was like for you the very first day you kind of stepped on set?
You know, this was just an amazing experience. I was blessed to be able to be involved in the process from the very beginning. Regina King, the director, just really took me under her wing and allowed me to be there throughout the process. So I was able to learn a lot about the film industry. And so it was phenomenal. And then BE came in, I sat in on casting. And usually you don't see that. Usually Hollywood buys an author's book and then tells the author, see you. They may get invited to the premiere. But they mm-hmm. really did allow me to be part of the process. So it was phenomenal. Now, you know, this is my first movie, so I appeared on set because I was on set the entire time we filmed. That mm-hmm. first day, I was dressed to the nines. I had my little off-the-shoulder dress and bangles and makeup and hair. And this guy looked at me and said, you must be new. This must be your first movie. Because everybody had on T-shirts and jeans and baseball caps, so I had to go shopping because that wasn't even in my wardrobe. But it was so much fun to be there.
Now, you know, I hear a lot sometimes where the screenplay, you know, kind of doesn't necessarily stick very closely to the book version. Did you find that that was the case for you, or did they kind of stick really close to the way you had written things in the book?
Well, a movie based off a book really is supposed to taste like the book. It is the essence of the book. It's not the book verbatim, because a book is 300 pages and a movie script is 90 to 100 pages. So you have to condense all that's happening in the book. So when I first got the screenplay, I was a little shocked at some of the changes they made. But when they explained things from a producing perspective, I understood it. And I'm one of those people, I stay in my lane. I let you do what you do, and I do what I do. And I think that was one of the reasons why our relationship was so good. But they did make, they made a huge change that some of my readers were a little upset about, but I understood why they made the change. In the book, one of my main characters is gay. In the movie, he's not gay.
Ah, okay. Now, did you kind of... Like you said, did you hear a lot from readers like, hey, Rashonda, why did this happen? And, you know.
I did. That was one of, that was probably, everybody loved the movie. We got rave reviews. We were trending on Twitter. But one of the main things that I did get from people was what happened to him being gay. But people really, once I explained it, they actually got it. There were still a few people, diehard fans, like, no, I wanted him to be gay. But they had nothing but positive things to say about the movie.
Right. Now, you've stepped out on faith and followed your dreams. So what advice would you give others out there listening to you right now about following their dreams?
You know, you just have to find a way to make your dreams a reality. If you can't go in through the front door, find another way in. Go in through, dig a tunnel, go in through a window, the air conditioning unit. That's the approach you have to take. Because I was told no left and right. I was told no. In getting a book deal, I was told no in just being able to do the things that I wanted to do. And I had people that didn't believe in me, down to my own family. And it's not, you know, when you hear people don't believe in you, folks automatically go, oh, they're haters. No, my family, they, you know, we're inside of a box, and they couldn't see my vision. My mother was mortified at the thought that I would consider quitting my good job to pursue writing. And so I had to tell her, just hang on. And then you'll be able to see my vision. And so sometimes you have to take that approach and don't let anyone else but you and your God define your destiny.
Now, you co-founded Brown Girls Publishing with fellow national bestselling author Victoria Christopher Murray. So tell us a little bit about that joint venture and how it came to be and what you look for in an aspiring or a published author.
Well, we Victoria and I are both with Simon & Schuster. We're with different divisions. I'm with Gallery, and she's with Touchstone. And we are among the last African-American authors standing at Simon & Schuster. And at one time, there were so many of us, not because we're the most talented by far. The industry just changed so much. And so Victoria and I were talking about it, and some of our colleagues and some of the people that we loved and respected, they were no longer having book deals. So we wanted to start a company that allowed those fan favorites to let their voices be heard, as well as introduce the next generation of authors, fresh voices. And so today we have just over 25 authors on our roster. We've started 4 imprints, and we are growing by leaps and bounds. In our first year, we had a title nominated for NAACP Image Award. We've just won Publisher of the Year with the African American Literary Awards. So we are on the rise and just very excited about the company.
That is amazing. And, you know, how is it that you're able to kind of wear so many hats? And trust me, you wear them all very well. But is there ever a time where you're just like, ah, I need a minute?
Oh, yeah. There are some times when I just want to get in my car and just keep driving and just stop when the when I hit the water. You know, but I'm able to do it all because I believe that every minute you spend talking about what you don't have time to do could be spent doing it. And so
yeah,
I just do
true. It.
You know, I know that you faith without works is dead. You can't just have this dream and then don't do the work to make that dream a reality. And so, yes, I have my bad days, and I have those days where I need to be re-energized and refueled. But I just know that at the end of the day, I'm not going to achieve my goals or accomplish my dreams just sitting at home bemoaning where I am or my position at that time.
Right. Now, for those of you just tuning in, I am speaking with number one national best-selling and NAA Image Award-winning author Rashonda Tate Billingsley about her novel Mama's Boy. So, Rashonda, your website has some great information there for readers and authors. Can you tell us a little bit more about your digital workshops and how someone that may be interested in them can sign up?
Yes, we Victoria and I are constantly bombarded with questions on writing because one of the reasons we believe we've had success and longevity in this business is because we take serious the craft of writing. You will never see a story from either one of us that we've just thrown together. And so we get questions all the time. So what we wanted to do was create digital take-at-your-own-pace workshops that basically answer all of these questions. We have one on getting started, everything you know to get started, another one on just kind of the meat and potatoes and of making your novel the best, and then taking it to the next level. And these workshops are on our website, writersproworkshops.com. And they are, again, you download them, you take them at your own pace, how you see fit. You can stop and come back, but they're classes to help you sell more books and have a long and successful career.
Wow. And so do you find that a lot of the established authors already are signing up for these workshops as well, or is it more kind of just the aspiring writers or a little bit of both?
Oh, no, not at all. Victoria and I are constantly in learning mode. You should always be developing your craft. Stephen King says he's still learning. He's always learning. And even the most accomplished author can always learn something new. And so one of the things we try to do in our Take It to the Next Level workshop is talk about some of those things that can make your story sing. So we write about those. We have a self-editing workshop coming up as well as a marketing and promotion. So there is something for aspiring new and veteran authors.
Wow. So what's, you know, I ask the next question of every author because literally it's a different answer for everybody. I think maybe twice I had somebody to say the same thing, but normally it's just everybody is different. So what's one thing you've got to have while you're writing and why?
To have. Oh, gosh. Probably. I mean, the only thing that I can't even say my laptop because I will write on a napkin if I'm somewhere. When I was a reporter and I'm in court, I'm writing my story on the back of a program. I write in church. I write everywhere. And so I have three children, so I'm not one of those that can say, well, I need to sit quietly in a corner and have the meditation music. Yeah, my kids aren't having that. And so really the only thing I have to have is my muse. And that is that juice that keeps those creative ideas flowing. I do sometimes listen to music, but again, my kids will come in and decide they want to yell over the music. So I've just learned to master the art of writing anywhere, at any time, over anything.
Now, do you find while you're out and about sometimes that, you know, people want to kind of give you ideas, so to speak, about your next character or a story idea or something like that?
Oh, yeah. If I could just get $10 from everybody that comes up to me, I could retire from writing, never have to write a book again. And, you know, you can go. I stopped even on the airplane telling people that I'm an author because then they have the next bestseller that needs to be made into a movie, and I need to write their story. And then you spend the whole plane ride hearing their amazing one-of-a-kind story that's really, you've heard it every time someone tells it to you.
It is amazing how, you know, when you say you're an author, that's literally almost like the first thing people say sometimes, oh, I'm going to write a book or I'm going to, you know, get around to that, you know, at some point in time. Or I remember I had one author I actually talked to and he's like, you know, was saying something to the effect of, yeah, he had a book, but, you know, then he had a real job. And I'm like, wait. I'm like, being an author is a real job, you know, or at least
know.
It should be. So, Rashonda, what is your next novel about? Can you give readers a little sneak peek into that?
So I actually just turned in my July 2016 book, and it's called The Perfect Mistress. And it is about a woman that learns how to be the perfect mistress from her father.
Wow.
Her mother discovers that she's known about her father's infidelities and just how that damages their relationship.
Wow.
I am never a surface writer. I always write multi-layered stories. So you will, you know, I'm not going to just deal with an issue of infidelity. That story has been told 100 times. But what I want to do is dig deeper. One, how she got there. I'm big on motivation. And so that's her story, just the things that she learned from her father and then how that knowledge affected her relationship with her mother.
Wow. So out of all your novels, do you have a favorite character?
That is hard to say. It's like every time you finish a book, you love this one. But I Know I've Been Changed is one of my favorites because it is about a woman from a small town in Arkansas who moves to Houston, hits the big time as a television news anchor, and tries to forget her country trouble-filled family. Now, I'm originally from Arkansas, and I got a country trouble-filled family, and I was an anchor. But this isn't my story. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But I had so much fun creating that story because my family is so colorful, and I was able to kind of channel a lot of that.
Gotcha. Now, is there something that a lot of people don't know about you?
Yes, when I was younger, I wanted to be MC Light. I was like going to be the next rap queen. People see that and they're like dumbfounded. Yes, I just knew I was going to be big time. Me and Queen Latifah on the stage. And then my mother made me go to college.
She burst the bubble.
That, and then another thing a lot of people are surprised is I used to be deathly shy. Like, I wouldn't talk. I would hide behind my mother's leg until I was like 14 years old. You couldn't get me to speak in front of anyone. And now, you know, I travel the country speaking. But a lot of people are shocked to learn that I was so shy.
Yeah, because you really do. You are a motivational speaker. So, I mean, and you write poems and everything. So what was it that kind of, you know, at that teenage years kind of pulled you out of being so shy? Was there like a specific thing or was it just kind of?
It was. And that's why I'm always telling parents that you've got to have your child find their passion. I became a cheerleader in high school. First was a dance team and then a cheerleader, and then I became the student announcer. I did announcements.
It was like
someone had poured water on some seeds that had been laying dormant. That just completely brought me out of my shell. And my senior year, I just shined. And it was because, I had found my juice. I had found that thing that I really was passionate about and loved doing, and I was good at it.
Wow. Now, what's the best advice that you've ever received in relation to your writing career?
The best advice would definitely be treat your writing career like a business. A lot of people think that, I can just write a book. I can throw some words on the paper. And, I was told this. I didn't take it to heart. I self-published initially, and I didn't have a sound business plan. So I would sell some books and then go buy some shoes with the money. So you really, really have to have a sound business plan. And that's a word of advice. If I could go back and do things over, I would do that differently.
Now, do you have a favorite genre or author that, readers may find on your nightstand?
I'm an avid reader, love reading. I read fiction, an array of work. But I love established authors like Eric Jerome Dickey. I'm a big fan of Victoria Christopher Murray. I read my friend Pat Tucker. But I also love reading and discovering new people. So I will read a self-published book no one has ever heard of in a minute. Just because I love discovering new authors.
Wow. Now, are there any upcoming events you'd like to share with listeners out there?
Yeah, I am. I tour a lot. I'm always on the road. But I do usually reserve the month of December to just kind of use that as family time. But I'll be gearing back up in January and all over the country. And so my website is updated with where I am. And my fabulous assistant, Sharetta Edwards, keeps everything updated, and they can always find out where I am on my website at my very long name, RashondaTateBillingsley.com.
Yes, but it flows. So how can listeners get in touch with you?
Well, on my website, there's a link to all my social media connections, but I'm on Facebook at my name. I'm on Twitter at Rashonda T, and then Instagram at my name as well.
Okay. Now, how long does it actually, you know, take for you to kind of write a novel when you go from the planning stages all the way kind of to that first rough draft?
Well, that takes me about 3 months. You know, I hear people saying they can write a good book in 30 days. Well, I'm not that person because I have to marinate with my characters. I can get a first draft out, but I believe that good books aren't written, they're rewritten. So I really do go through like 5 and 6 drafts, and there are little things that you'll discover along the way when you do that. The Perfect Mistress, one of the things I was working on is the character, the majority of the time I wrote it, she had Alzheimer's, but there was something that wasn't feeling right. And, I discovered that she didn't need to have Alzheimer's. But if I had just churned that out, then that would have been a nugget that was missing. But because I've marinated on it and I went back and forth, I was able to further develop my characters. And I'm a firm believer in that.
Now, Rashonda, has there ever been an instance where, you know, you've received your manuscript back from the editor and maybe there was something that they wanted you to change or tweak or something, and you kind of held firm to, no, I'm not going to tweak it, and here's why?
There, you know, I've been blessed to have fabulous editor who acquired me. I'm at Simon & Schuster. I still have her. And they've been really understanding and letting me do me. Now, they've had some suggestions on lines, and I know I've been changed. They wanted to open it up, and I had it starting off saying they can all kiss my A, because she had a little attitude as she's leaving. So they wanted to change it to they can all kiss my grit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know anybody but Flo on Alice that says
yeah,
kiss my
grit. Yeah, from Alice. And I think that was
so
back in the 70s.
So I stood my ground on that, and we found another, I was able to find something else, but that was one that I fought. And then initially in my early stages, your editors have to understand your audience. They would say things like, I made a reference to Miss Cleo, and they would say, well, you need to go into detail on who Miss Cleo is. And I said, well, no, my audience will know who Miss Cleo is.
They'll get it.
Things like that. But for the most part, it has just been a fantastic partnership.
Now, you know, as a publisher now, is there kind of moments when you kind of just sit and go, wow, you know, because you're affecting the lives of not just readers now, but also other authors and authors that are, you know, first starting out. And, you know, not everyone, as we've heard probably throughout the years, not everybody has that great first kind of, you know, when you get your first contract or you get your, you know, first big break. Not everybody has a smooth transition going from aspiring author to actual author. So you kind of, there's a lot of responsibility there for you. You know, how exactly have you gotten to the point where you're kind of like, wow, this is pretty cool. I mean, because this is some serious stuff that you're doing, and you're really, you know affecting people in a positive way.
When Victoria and I started this, we had no idea the Brown Girls would take off like it did. We weren't prepared for it. And I think we're so busy in the weeds doing the work that we really weren't realizing the impact. And we recently had a Brown Girls launch party where a lot of our authors came together, and we had a big event here in North Carolina. And I think that weekend was so eye-opening for us because we were looking around at all of these people that would not have had book deals, who would have had their stories inside of them. And we were both just like, wow. You know, it's a blessing to us to be able to give this to other people.
Wow. You know, Rashonda, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It has been such a pleasure having you this evening.
Well, it is my pleasure and any time. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And I'd like to thank our listeners out there for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget, you can find us at readersentertainment.com. Don't forget to check out the recap blog later on this evening for Vashonda's show. If you'd like to leave a comment there, we'd love to hear from you. Tune in next Thursday. My guest will be inspirational romance author Lynn Cote. So I'm your host, Lisa Watson, saying thank you for joining me tonight. Be inspired and happy reading. Good night, Vashonda. Have a good evening.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.